Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Today's episode is brought to you by the folks over at SeatGeek, the best and easiest to use ticket platform out there. They take the confusion out of buying tickets using a 0 to 10 scoring system and a green is good, red is bad color rating system so you and your loved ones get the best deal possible. So whether it's going to see our beloved Red Legs at Great American Ballpark, the Bengals over at Paycor, FC Cincinnati, one of the area college teams, or pretty much anything in between, use promo code RIVERFRONT at checkout and receive $20 off your first order. Click the link in the show notes to download the app and get started. That's Riverfront, one word, for 20 bucks off.
Hello, everybody.
What up, what up, what up?
My name is Tim Daniel. His name is Ben Brown. And welcome to this week's edition of Late Night Reds, brought to you by the Riverfront. And Ben, it's our second to last episode of this of the year.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
That's unbelievable, man.
It's crazy.
What a fun year it's been.
It's been a super fun year, man. Before we do get started, of course, want to make sure we give some love, as always, to the Patreon fan. Thank you all so much for making this show and every show here in the Riverfront possible. So if you're not a member, please go to patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. Join the fun. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun conversations over there. Yeah. What a sports weekend in Cincinnati, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So we got the Bengals winning today. I had a great sports weekend, all right? So we got the Bengals winning today in a huge game against the Colts.
Dude, only thing bad about that is that we won't have Jake Browning next year. I mean, he's pretty much, I mean, it's an audition for any backup quarterback, but dude, he has performed really well.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a team out there that I'm sure is going to be like, yeah, we're going to take him off your hands and make him a starter at some point. Now, he may not be successful or not, but he's definitely done a great job of filling in. I mean, he's been incredible.
Yeah, he has. So we had that. The in-season tournament, the NBA, the finals lasted up to the last, like, 4 minutes of the game was incredible. I know you're a Pacers
really
fan.
Really good. Really good.
Very successful. Really enjoyed everything about the tournament. Yeah. So we had that. And then there's something else I was trying to think of, but, like, it got really cold in my house today, so I had to wear layers. And this hoodie was really zipped, so let me just zip them up real quick.
I think that was a conversation in our text. We were like, if you see can't beat Xavier now, with Xavier going into that game with a 4-game losing streak, then I don't know if it's possible. I mean, that Xavier team was about as low as it could get as far as this going into this season. They were, I believe they were 4-4 or 3-4
going in.
They were 4-5 going into it and had not played well. I mean, they had not played well at all.
Nope.
And UC was undefeated, I believe, 7-0.
They were.
And going into it on a pretty decent wave, and still, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to watch it. But Xavier, I guess, had a kid get really hot from three, went 6-8 from three.
Yeah, Quincy Oliveri, dude. He is like, I don't know if he's missed for 4 games.
Yeah, they said
even though they've lost, he's just like been lights out for like 3 or 4 games now.
Yeah, they said he was incredible.
He was.
Shout out to my man, Jeremy Rao and Joe Daneman for catching me update on the shootout last night. But yeah, incredible. Absolutely incredible. And to watch that and to watch that rivalry. And I don't think if people don't live in this area, they don't understand how right. big that game is. But man, it is a lot of fun. You know, UC people are always delusional, and Xavier's always the solid and more better fundamentally sound team. And for the most part, unless UC just has crazy athletes, Xavier usually wins that game. So they've won 4 in a row, 5 in a row.
Yep, 5 in a row.
5 in a row. So
yeah, but don't worry, they'll tell us all about their Final Fours from last century.
Oh yeah, yeah. Kenyon Martin.
Yeah. They didn't go to the Final Four then. Yeah, so I had to acknowledge real quick, Mr. Juan said, I want to say I got into a fight this week on Twitter by trolling a guy using quotes from the movie Tombstone, but the guy wants to meet up for real. Mr. Juan, confirm or deny, was this man Nate Dotson? Because I know that's Nate wild. Dotson loves Tombstone, loves it.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Yeah. Because Nate would definitely get down for a couple, like, funny enough, today in the group text we have, me, him, Chad, and Carlos yeah. sent in this thing on TikTok. It's a Tombstone bourbon glass where it's like the Ooh. Around it, it's like Val Kilmer, and it's like a leather strap around it. And I was like, I want that for my bourbon glass.
Yeah. Collection. Yeah. Listen, I can't even mess with Tombstone's definitely in my top three. Like, no doubt.
I love it.
Anytime it comes on, I have to stop and watch it. Like, yeah. it's legit.
I'm with you. It was my dad's favorite movie too. So
yeah. Like it's one of those, it'll stop me in my tracks.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, I do real quick before we do get on, all joking aside, kudos to a really fun crosstown shootout. Absolutely love every year being there. But also want to say thanks to everybody who gave me some support for my article I wrote on Chad's Substack about my dad. Awesome response to everybody. I really, really appreciated all the kind words. It meant a lot to me. That was not easy to write. That was pretty tough to cut. But everyone's response, it meant a lot to me. So I just want to let you guys know I appreciate it. But we're not going to get sentimental here tonight. We're going to talk some baseball, because what else do you talk in December during the NFL race? And, you know, I do also want to make sure I give one quick shout out to next week. So like we said, we know we're going to do the Christmas song draft. Ben and I did secure a really cool guest for next week. It's our buddy Jackson Lauman, who is a former big league scout. And he's going to give us some intel into the 2024 MLB draft. So we're going to know who the Reds might be looking at pick two. But I already have my two guys in mind that I'm going to be obsessively asking about. So before we do get to the Reds conversation, I first got to ask, Shohei Ohtani goes to the Dodgers for $700 million. Shohei Ohtani could buy the Cincinnati Reds.
Right? Yeah, that's insane. Like, just think about that number. $700 million.
How do you top that? Who's going to get a billion-dollar contract?
It's crazy to think about, but it's got to be coming, right? I don't know who the billion-dollar contract athlete will be, but, I mean, $700 million is, you know, when they were starting about breaking, when people started breaking the news that he was going to sign that day and they said that the contract was going to be astronomical, I was thinking $700 million is an insane amount of money. Now, granted, I am not doubting Shohei Ohtani's skill. But $700 million is insane to me. That is an insane amount of money. Phenomenal player. I don't believe he's pitching next year. I mean, I know. Nope. I think he just had Tommy John, but even for his bat alone to be a reigning AL MVP, to come over now to the Dodgers, that's incredible. I mean, that's just an insane amount of money. I don't know. I mean, of course, I don't know what making that kind of money is, but gosh dang, that's got to play a little bit in your headspace. You got to perform now. You ain't got no choice. You know, like you come over here and hit 25 home runs, only driving 90 runs, dude.
You only hit 280.
You can't do that now. Like, you got to be legit. So, but big up to him, man. $700 million. That's incredible.
So I do have to ask you, since, you know, your son is an athlete, obviously mm-hmm. just played in the football state championship, got on the court immediately to play basketball, right after. That's pretty mm-hmm. impressive. Did you sit down with him after you saw this and have a conversation to say, I think you should pick up the bat again?
Oh, man, yeah. That thing came across. I immediately ran down and got his bat ball bag and bat and was like, man, listen, we're going out here to this net and we're going to hit some baseballs. Yeah, and even he came in and was like, Dad, I may have messed up. I'm going to hit some baseballs. I'm like, dude, that's a crap ton of money. But, yeah, I mean, you know, his first love was baseball, but I mean, he hasn't played baseball in 3 years now, but that's the first thing he said. He's like, man, I may have messed up. I may want to go pick up the, I'm like, dude, $700 million to make you do that. You know what I mean? $700 million make you pick it up again. But yeah, it was definitely a conversation I had in our household.
I understand. I absolutely understand.
Yeah, no doubt.
But that was
just a crap ton of money, man. Jeez, old Pete's.
Holy moly. Yeah, man. Sydney, I didn't see Tom Verducci's article, but I'll make sure I do read that because that's, mm-hmm. I'm sure it's fascinating.
Yeah, Verducci's awesome.
Just the fact that he kept it quiet the whole time is unreal.
Yeah. And especially in this day and age where, you know, you got people all over your business. You got people tapping phones. You got people inside meetings selling information. You got all kinds of stuff going on. Twitters and Snapchats and all this other things, how he was able to keep that under the radar. And big ups to the Dodgers for keeping it under the radar.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it could have been anybody that
leaked. You know, that PR guy was like,
oh, dude, he was sitting on a gold mine. You know how much people he could have sold that information for that they were signing him.
Yeah.
And he could have made himself a fortune and kept his mouth shut. Everybody involved kept their mouth shut, which, I mean, to Ohtani's credit, that's what he asked for. I mean, he didn't want any whole lot of fanfare and this, that, and the other. So to his credit, but to be the guy, be those guys, the GMs and all that guy where people are just clamoring for information, even if you're just working in the office of the Dodgers, you see Ohtani walk in, it's really hard not to be oh my gosh, Shohei Ohtani just came in our office. It's really hard to just stay hush on all that stuff. So big up to them. And all the Dodgers organization for getting that done and keeping it hush hush. I mean, that's incredible.
Ohtani Kawhi'd them. He for sure Kawhi'd us all.
Absolutely, he did. Absolutely. I mean, other big market teams. I mean, I just wasn't sure if it was gonna be one of the big market teams, right? It was gonna be New York. It was gonna be LA. It was gonna be somebody like that. We knew it was gonna be a big market team. But when the Yankees signed Soto, I was like, oh man, like now that narrows it down to, you know, maybe Boston, maybe Boston tries to counter with that, You know, maybe, Dodgers, but you're like, there's only a few teams that could reach out and be like, yeah, we, this is the guy we want, and we got the bankroll to do it. So, you know, big up to the Dodgers. Once the Yankees signed Soto, you kind of got to lean in that he was going to be going away from some, going away from New York, of course, but there's only big market teams that could sign him, could afford $700 million.
Friendly reminder, folks, there's no such thing as a salary cap in baseball.
No, there's not. No, there is not. And people will go bankrupt to try to get the best team on the field in order to make that money. So, you know, I like I said, much respect to the Dodgers making it happen. Already making a dangerous lineup, more dangerous.
Oh my God.
By adding the AL MVP to your freaking lineup. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. With the NL MVP runner-up already in your lineup. Right,
already in your lineup. Like, geez, old Pete.
Have you seen, we'll move on from it after this, but have you seen that clip? I saw it on TikTok of the, it's like a blurred out video. It's like a blurred out door of like the young Diamondbacks fan who's like getting the news where he's like, so it's like blurred out. You can't see the kid, obviously. So this isn't me making fun of the kid at all. So please know this is me just kind of cracking up because it's like, I get it. Like if the Cardinals signed Ohtani for $700 million, I'd feel the way this kid feels. You know what I mean? So he goes, he's like crying, and like his, I guess his parents like recording it, and he's like, "We'll never get back to the World Series." And he goes, he goes, "Mookie Betts can burn in hell." I'm like, damn right.
Yep.
Man.
You're like,
damn,
you know
right
what? That way. There's a part of me that feels the same way. You know? So you're like, gosh dang it, yeah. Yeah, I can see where that kid's coming from for sure.
I remember when Cardinals got Goldschmidt, and I was like, oh, mother.
You're like, come on, man. Like, the rich getting richer. Like, come on. Knock it off.
Yeah, absolutely. But I just thought that was funny. So shout out to that kid. You're absolutely right. You should feel the way you felt. I would feel that way, too, if that happened in my division.
Absolutely.
So let's go ahead and get to some Reds news, though. I know we did talk about – I talked about quite a bit of this already this week on the Riverfront show with Chad. But I did want to kind of get our – kind of have a chance for us to kind of get a full conversation on it. But obviously the big news for the Reds this week was signing Jaime Candelario to a three-year, $45 million contract. And I kind of want to tease here because we have a segment later where we're going to dive deeper into what does this mean. But obviously – kind of a fascinating signing. So if you remember when the Nationals traded him to Chicago at the deadline, pretty heavily linked to the Reds at the time. First series that he plays as a Cub is against the Reds. I think he hit like 990.
Yes, he did. He freaking killed the ball against us.
Yeah, it wasn't very fun. But he's a guy that has plays first and third base. We've kind of had this conversation quite a bit all off season, right? About like, you kind of felt like that was set in stone. Obviously you also had the situation of, the DH obviously, but the report also comes out that Jonathan Indy is not getting traded. So it's kind of fascinating, but we'll look first before we get into like this, because I want to talk about a couple other things first. Do you like the signing? Because I think in a vacuum, I really do. This is a guy who has, especially playing at Great American Ballpark, probably has 30, 35 home run power. He's, you know, probably a better defender than Strand, especially at the moment. I think Strand's going to develop into be a really good defender. But he's not a better defender than Edwin Arroyo by any means.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, sorry, Noelvi Marte. And he might not be a better defender than Edwin Arroyo, but we'll find out.
No, but Marte, I know.
So I like it. I'm just really kind of like, okay, how does it all fit? Because it sounds like, I mean, what we kind of figured out this offseason is, it sounds like Spencer Strand's been told, like, you are the everyday left fielder.
Yeah, and I think it gives the Reds time. I think it gives them time. So it gives them a guy. It gives them a veteran bat. It gives them we lost a veteran bat in Votto, but it gives them another veteran bat. Guy's been in the league. He's a professional hitter.
Ricky. Shut up, Dan. North of the border, Dan, coming in with some Ricky Carter love.
Why you put that up there? Sorry, I had to get that out.
Gotta love it.
But yeah, but it gives you a veteran bat. It gives you a guy that can play the corner on either side. And it also gives you a guy that when you, you know, if you want a DH Strand, he's a better defender probably than Strand right now. And he also gives you a guy that when you're ready to bring up your young guys, it's a 3-year contract. So it gives you time. You don't have to rush guys up. You can leave guys, either leave them there. So you got a guy that can be kind of a stopgap. And like you said, he's going to hit 30 home runs in GABP. He's going to drive in 100 runs. So he gives you production. So I think a clubhouse that they were looking for. And he's a guy that he doesn't have to be his absolute best, but he can be good enough to be a stopgap guy between the two corner guys. So I'm okay with the signing. I was a little concerned because now you've got him, India, and then you got all the guys already got already. So it's like, how are you going to find a bat? But they'll figure it out. I mean, I think it's too good of a bat to just let go and not sign because he did hit the ball well, and he's going to hit the ball well in GABP. So, yeah, I think it's a good signing.
I like it too. You know, his stats aren't like amazing by any stretch of the matter for his career. But, yeah, I think he's a good at-bat for this particular situation. I think for – I guess it sounded like he really wanted to go to a young team that had a lot of talent, was kind of his – In his offseason. And hey, the last time the Reds signed a guy, my wire just came out, of course. Gotta love the beauty of podcasting.
Hey, Lay, this is reality TV.
Yeah.
This is what you get. Things happen.
But the last time the Reds signed a guy who was traded to the Cubs at the trade deadline and only spent a half a season with them, Nick Castellanos. Man, and that worked out pretty well for the Reds for 2 years. So, Am I just diving way too deep into this? Yes, absolutely. But it's December of 2023.
It's December.
So I got it looked into something.
Come on, people. Give us something. Come on. It's December baseball.
Yeah, they got more pop in the at-bat. I mean, they got more pop in the lineup, and they got a better defender. So, I'm happy with it.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, and the truth be told, and these guys performed well. Marte and Strand both performed really well towards the end of the season. But it gives you a guy that if they go into slumps, he's a veteran guy that may get hot at the right time. If those guys are struggling some and he gets hot, like they can all kind of play off each other. And it gives you that guy in that lineup that still has that pop. So I think it's good. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I absolutely do too. We're going to dive a little bit more into that here in a bit. But on some other good news. So we did mention next week we're going to have a buddy of ours on who's a former big league scout. But the Reds win 82 games and get the second pick in the draft. So this feels like when the Orlando Magic got Shaq, and then the next year we're like 2 games out of the Eastern Conference playoffs, and they got the Chris Webber pick, which they ended up trading for Penny Hardaway. Yeah. I feel like this is what the Reds happened, because they lost 100 games and got the 7th pick last year. And this year they win 82, lose 80. So they win 20 more games and they get the 2nd pick. I think they had a less than 1% chance. Same with the Guardians, but pretty exciting. Shout out Devin Mesoraco going in there and working his magic. Former first round pick for the Reds, brings a great pick to the Reds. Obviously, there's a lot to dive into, especially that we'll have plenty of time to do that before the draft in June. But love it. Absolutely love it. I think I'm going to bring a couple names up here real quick. But I think the thing I love about the most, Ben, is this team has drafted very well for a few years now. So you can go back to when they picked Hunter Green, Lodolo, I don't have these year by year off the top of my head by any means, so forgive me. But McLean, Rhett Lauder looks like he's going to be really, really good if he's still on the team, if he's not traded for an ace. Sorry, guys. I had to say it's possible. It is possible. You know, there's a lot here. And when we did text with our good buddy last week, he did kind of mention that the top of this draft, the first 4 or 5 picks, is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And one name that I'm just like salivating at, because you know how the draft goes. The draft is kind of like, the guy can tell them, don't take me because this team offered me more money and I'm going to sign with them and not sign with you. So if the Reds could just find a way to come up with JJ Weatherholt of West Virginia, I'm stoked. is this is a middle infielder. And look, they love middle infielders. Tell me when I'm telling lies here, guys. But Weatherholt last year hit 450, won the NCAA batting title. Mm-hmm. Stole, you know, has some power, steals bases. So that is my number one. I, you know, the Guardians might take him first overall. I suspect that they will. But if for some reason they don't, hell yeah. Yeah. And then Nick Kurtz out of Wake Forest. He's a power hitting first baseman. Love this kid too. After they got the pick, I like went and like did a bunch of Google searches and YouTube videos of like their swings and stuff. And I was like, this kid's got something here. So in the very, very early non-professional, not a baseball scout, don't have the scouter's eye by any stretch of the matter, those two names jumped out the most. Bob mentioned the kid from Florida. Let me see if I can find him real quick. I had him on there as well. Joe Caglione.
Say that three times fast.
Right. First baseman, left-handed pitcher from Florida. So that's, you know, a name that a lot of people are talking about. Mr. Juan mentioned this is a huge step down from last year's. I do agree. Yeah, it's not like last year's draft. Yeah. Incredible. But like I said, I'm going to take professional people who did this for a living. I'm going to take their opinions. Hopefully, you know, the Reds get something really, really nice here. And Sydney does bring up Austin Hendrick in 2020. That's like the Reds' one bad pick. But that was such a weird – it was the COVID year.
2020 was the COVID year. It was a weird year.
Yeah, and, like, they probably saw him hit, like – he played in the Pennsylvania League where, like, the guy he was probably facing that pitched up fastest was probably throwing 82.
Yeah.
He probably was just wrecking balls. And
yeah, I was going to say, a guy just came from a gas station, was pitching strikes, and he was here we go.
Just teeing.
Yep.
But I'm – you know, even though this isn't last year's draft, I'm still pretty excited.
Yeah. Now I don't know much about the MLB draft. Can they trade that pick? So are picks tradable in the MLB draft? So like if they
I don't think first rounders are.
Okay. Are they locked?
I think they are, yeah. Okay. So I think so there, but you know, that does open up some options here, like Bob said. Does having the number two pick make trading Arroyo an option? Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, absolutely it does.
I think that some of the guys who were listed in trade conversations this week you saw were Lodolo. I mean, not Lodolo, mm-hmm. but Louder and a couple of those, you know, a couple of guys they drafted last year. Yeah. Hell yeah, they are. If it's going to improve the big league club, I'm sure they're going to think about it. Yep. Now, obviously, we've seen Nick Kroll's kind of been hesitant to like move the top of his farm system, and I get that. Have no issue with it. I think this has been my point for like 3 weeks now about this about this fan base. It's like I don't care how they get there. If they get there by trading guys, or they get there by holding on to everyone, developing talent, and they win that way, I am happy either way. Yeah. I don't think we have to fight about this anymore. Please stop it. But anyway, yeah, I think having that pick in a Royal Louder situation where you can go get a high end top of the rotation guy. I think it's certainly an option.
Oh, it has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be. I mean, I think the Reds and the fan base, I mean, I know they're not about trading guys in our farm system, but we have enough guys in our farm system to be really good for a long time. We got to be willing to move a couple pieces in order to, if we want to bring a big time arm to the starting rotation. We've already upgraded the bullpen. We're missing a big time starter. I don't think that that's something that's unreasonable. We'll say, hey, you know, we've got these guys in our farm system where we can bring in a guy that can booster our starting pitching. I think it's worth a look at for sure, especially now that you have the number two pick. I mean, you can take that pick and get what you need and move guys around and do different things. So it just gives us more options for sure.
So Mr. Juan clarified, I thought this was right. I just didn't want to make sure I had it correct before I spoke it out of factual. Only thing that's tradable is compensation picks. So the picks they get are like if guys sign with other teams. Oh, look who popped in the chat today. Oh,
hey.
Oh, President Chad coming in. Hey. Too cool to turn his microphone on and come in, but you know, he'll come in here and chat.
Okay, Captain.
Yeah.
Captain.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Okay.
I'm open to it. You know, like I said, I just want to win a damn World Series. I don't care how they do it. But this is definitely makes it exciting. This definitely does open up a ton of options for them. So I'm stoked. I can't wait to, I think when we have Jackson next week, it's going to be a lot easier to kind of give us some more insight to, because we have no idea what we're talking about.
We're just regular Joes trying to figure it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I probably saw a guy hit like a 600 foot homer and I was like, that guy's incredible. Pick him. Mm-hmm. And they're probably like, the guy threw a 44 mile an hour curveball. Yeah. Of course, you know, and I'll be like, okay. But I never, turn the mic on now. You know how to get in here. You know how to get in here. Chad
Dotson. Oh, man. He said he never invites me. Oh, wow.
Okay.
So we're going to play that game, huh?
StreamYard's not letting me hide the comment. There we go. Okay. I was like, if that's going to hang up on the show the whole time, I'm fine with it. So yeah, I think like, hell yeah, it's a possibility. I think they drafted so well last year that you have kind of this situation, not just getting, Rowler, but the kid from LSU, Sammy Stafora is a guy that I've seen pop up as a potential trade option for the Reds as well as a prospect. So things are out there. Things can happen. I'm stoked for it. I can't wait to see how this shakes out. But next week when we have the best late night Reds of all time, because we're doing our Christmas draft, you guys are going to get some more insight. So I already told Chad he has to be on that one. So if he's not show up, Ty Floyd, that's his name. Thank you. I didn't have notes this week. I was bouncing around all over. And I also was up late last night watching Xavier beat Cincinnati. So I didn't have time to get notes together.
Oh, wow. Was that last night?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Xavier won again, huh?
Yeah.
Huh. Seems to be the norm. Interesting.
All right, Ben. Are you ready to put on your tinfoil cap?
Oh, yeah. Always fits so well.
Because the governor is coming to the show today. Jesse the Body Ventura is bringing some conspiracy theories. I tell you what, McMahon, something fishy's going on in Cincinnati right now with the baseball team. That was an awful Jesse Ventura impression.
I was going to try. Then you start. I was like, shoo. He saved me on that one. He saved me on the Ventura one. I was going to try to put one out there, but you beat me to it. So,
well, you probably would have done better than me. But you want to give it a shot real quick before we start talking about it?
Oh, come on, McMahon. This is insane. Insane.
Yep, yours is better than mine. For those who don't understand the joke, Jesse Ventura, obviously the former governor of Minnesota, former pro wrestler, but also had a show on A&E where he just literally talked about conspiracy theories every episode.
Yes, he did.
And has not aged very well at all.
No.
No, doesn't look too good.
Nope.
But one of the funniest wrestling commentators of all time when he wasn't saying horribly racist things. But yeah.
Had an issue with that.
Yeah. So Chad and I talked about this a little bit on Thursday, and I kind of want to dive into it with you because, you know, you weren't invited to the show Thursday. Point names of who didn't invite you, but we kind of talked about this of some, you know, the episode was about like being excited and confused and. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's just kind of lay this out right here. So they sign before the Candelaria news, the Jonathan Nia thing comes out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're not trading him. And we sat down with them, we had a conversation with them. We said, like, you're staying here and we want to figure out how to get you to line up. Paraphrasing, of course, because it's super long of an article.
Right.
And then the Candelaria news comes out. Above all of this has been these reports coming out about them being linked to the Biebers and the Glasnows and the Ceases and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they moved on from Joey Votto because they were excited to let the corner infield get to do their thing.
Correct.
Now they're signing a corner infielder who's a veteran.
Correct.
What's that one 80s song? It's like, I know. There's something going on. What's going on? What's your something's fishy here? Something's not adding up. Something's brewing here. Like something's brewing, yeah. Something bigger here.
Yeah, I think there's like there has to be something behind signing, you know, making that signing of a veteran guy. When you already got two guys that you've already said that are going to be your corner infield, and you let go of Joey Votto, Chad. but there's got to be some meaning behind it, and of course I'm not in the know as far as being like a you know Reds GM or what kind of moves they're trying to make, but I do agree with that last comment. I think this falls to them moving Indy eventually. I know this guy and that guy, we're going to find a bats for him, but something has to give. Like you can't sign a corner infielder, have two corner infielders already. Your middle is already sewn up. There's really no spot for India. Like there really is. I mean, right. And I'm not saying that because, you know, he's a bad player, but like you just signed another infielder knowing that you didn't have room to sign infielders. So what are you setting up? Are you setting up, you know, moving India? I mean, you're not moving CES, I would hope. And you're not moving Marte, I would hope. So,
doubt it.
You know, so, I mean, I think they told India that. And sports in general is a cruel game, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's all a business. So they're going to say things and do things. But I think at the end of the day, I think they have to move on from India. It'll be something where he gets traded, he gets moved. Because as much as I would hope that you would have a batch for him, because we talked about him possibly being DH some days, playing some infield some days, but you just signed another infielder. So something's not going to fit. Like, you don't have enough at bats. You're not going to sign a guy for 3 years, $45 million, and him not play.
Right.
Like, so, I think India is the odd man out, unfortunately. And I think he's smart enough to know that, yeah, the Reds told me that they're going to keep me, but we just signed an infielder for 3 years, $45 million. So, probably the writing's on the wall. I mean, it ain't Ellie De La Cruz and Matt McClain. They ain't going
no anywhere, way, Jose.
So I mean, I didn't see the comment, but I think whoever said it was right. I think it's India. I think India is going to be the odd man out.
It was Bob. Shout out, Bob.
Yeah, shout out, Bob. So, Bob, I think Bob, you're spot on that. I think India is the guy that gets moved out, even though they said they don't want him moving. But we all know this is a business. You're going to do what's best for the big league club, and you're going to do what's best for the team. And I'm not saying that's best for the team is move India, but you don't sign a corner infielder and have four young studs in your infield and be like, hey, we still got bats for India.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where you're going to find those at, but.
And David, I want to make sure David Brown in the chat gets shouted out here. Cause he makes a really good point about replacing Votto. I don't think it's just replacing Votto. I think it's replacing all those at bats of those weird dudes who got like at bats for the year that were like, I don't know if this guy should be playing on a big league team.
Yeah.
You know, the Alejo Lopez's, the Matt Reynolds, you can go down the line of those guys.
Right.
Sounds like Jose Barrera is going to be on the big league club at the moment.
Yeah.
I hope so, because I got to get more Soul Glow in before
absolutely
the end. So I think that makes a ton of sense there. But with that being said, still a lot of money for a guy that's, you know, not going to play every day.
Yeah, I mean,
especially because, like, you know, he also says that Marte's not going anywhere. They're not trading Marte.
Right. Those guys aren't.
No,
that's what I'm saying. Like, those guys aren't going nowhere.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
So Jordan Rand Salisbury asks, how does Barrera even fit in? I'll tell you how. Lettuce. Beautiful, luxurious lettuce.
It's fabulous.
So if they do move on from Jonathan India, someone's got to take the lettuce title in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And Rhett Lauder's not coming up for a while, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, yeah. I mean, they're chock full. I mean, if they draft another infielder, I mean, they're chock full of infielders, I mean, in their farm system, on the big league roster. I mean, I hate it because I like India, but
yeah, I think the preface in this conversation all offseason is like, we are not an anti-Jonathan India crowd. No.
Not at all.
By any stretch of the matter.
Not at all.
Fun to root for.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I felt like he led our clubhouse. Like, he was a great leader in the clubhouse. I felt like that guy set the tone a lot of times for the Reds. I mean, he was a guy that always led, was always positive. I have nothing but respect. Oh!
Talking crap about me, so I had to drop in.
Of course.
There it is.
During our tinfoil hat segment, the boss shows up, Chad Dotson.
What's going on, guys?
How are you, buddy?
Nothing much, man. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great.
Hey, is that winter growth growing in? I see you got
like
a little.
That? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to, you know, it's a little cold here. A little cold, yeah. So mostly I'm trying to. My whole life is about trying to look as much like Tim as I can. So
yes,
I love
Tim
it.
Daniels costume on. Mine's a little more gray in there.
It's a great costume, I gotta say.
So awesome. Go Reds!
Yeah,
absolutely.
So first off, I need you to rate before we kind of get your thoughts on this conversation. I need you to rate our Jesse Ventura impressions. See how we did. Being that you are one time a former government employee, you kind of understand the ins and outs of Jesse Ventura's life.
Yeah.
If you want to call him a government employee, whatever, you know, his government entails.
Yeah. He was the governor.
Yeah.
He was the governor.
So how did we do?
Let's move on. What's the next topic?
All right. That's exactly what I expected.
Two thumbs down.
So kind of piggybacking off the segment we did on your show on Friday, just kind of talking about something's going on. There's some big, you know, we're adding to the conspiracy of the Jonathan India not being moved per se. They signed Jamer Candelario. Is this smokescreen? Is this just kind of something where like we're going to be in June talking about who's getting who's at bats? Whatever your thoughts are.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much up in the air here. I'm not sure what to make of it, frankly. You know, I think you can sort of make a great argument, I think, to deal India or to keep India. And there's just so many moving parts here. This is what I don't understand. And this is something Tim and I kind of talk about. I'm not sure I completely understand what they're doing, but it's so fascinating. Just this one signing of Candelaria just makes me about a million times more excited to see what's going to happen the rest of the way. Because there are 15 different ways you can go here. I don't know which way the Reds will go, but I'm actually genuinely excited for the first time in the Reds offseason in a long time. And so for me, I'm not even asking for a World Series like you all were talking about earlier. I got one of those when I was a teenager because I'm older than you. But I just want interesting at this point. That's enough for me.
I agree. I totally agree. Yeah, there's just something there. Yeah, and like I just – like Sydney says, I just don't think this is – so let's speculate a little more. We know we've all said it. We know they need a top-end guy, right? Or two or three. I don't know, maybe three is a little exaggerating because they got Nick Martinez now, who I like that signing. What kind of thing, you know, what, and it's got to be for a top end starting pitcher at this point, right? Like that's got to be the thought process here. David, again, really good point. India isn't going to bring back an impact MLB point of return unless they package prospects. So this package is probably going to be, if you know, something hefty. Maybe, right? Like, I don't know what I'm saying here, but something's going on, you know?
No, I would agree with that. I think that India has to be part of a bigger picture, right? Like, I mean, it's got to be, and we've all talked about this, and Chad brought up a good point. I think you got to be willing to move those prospects. So, I mean, I think the guys that you have up now or is your future. I mean, those are your guys, right? So it's not going to kill you to package India with prospects. So if we're looking at a top-end guy, India's not going to do that alone. You're not going to get a top-end starter for an India. Golden ticket. But, you know, India alone is not going to bring in a top guy. But India and some of the prospects that we have in our farm system could definitely bring in a top guy, especially for a team that's looking to make a move and trying to build on something younger. So I think you have to use those pieces in order to be able to make the big league club better.
Can I say something here, Tim? Because I think Ben brings up a really, really good point.
Yeah,
which is that the Reds do have to be willing to trade from this this group of prospects, and I think you can get a legit guy if you package someone with India. But what to me, and this is sort of I'm in real time here, kind of formulating my thoughts on this. But maybe this signing that we saw this week is an indication that the Reds are willing to trade prospects, are willing to trade from that group of death. When before we had no indication that they were actually going to be willing to trade from, you know, they were going to keep hugging the prospects, right? Mm-hmm. So it, maybe I'm just trying to squint and see the positives angle here, but because to me, the positive angle is always trading every single prospect. No, that's not true, but I'm never against trading prospects, whereas the Reds have been in the last year or so, which is fine because they've got a bunch of good ones and they're letting them develop, but maybe this is an indication that they are willing to do that. And I think that's a very positive sign.
Yeah. Jordan says, spend the money and just sign Blake Snell. Totally up for it. Sign me up.
Why not?
I'm all in.
Yeah.
All in.
Yeah.
Anytime you see a starting pitcher that wears a single number on his jersey, not like 17 or 33, just number 4, I'm in. Mm-hmm. I'm in. That's my guy. So, yes. I'm all for if they were just to sign Blake Snell. I did hear some rumblings that they were the second team for Ohtani. They put up 690, and the Dodgers just got a little more than them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Jordan Montgomery, Sydney brings up. Interesting name. Not in love with him as far as like being the top guy there, but like him a lot. Wouldn't be against having him on the team. Trying to think who, you know, there's so many guys out there still. And that's the thing that's so great about the Ohtani deal now, right? It's like, we're going to start, like, that was like the thing holding everybody up.
Yeah, that was the big piece.
So
now the dominoes will start to fall a little bit.
Yeah. So Blake Snell probably signs the next couple of days somewhere. And we know how the Reds are. Like, if they can avoid it, they will not leak anything. So, which is kind of awesome when stuff pops up because you're like, oh crap, I did not expect that. But also, like, you're kind of like, when you're like someone like us who does podcasts, you're like, hey, you guys got any news for us?
They're like, nope, nothing. Nothing.
Not today.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Sydney, is this for real? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The typo.
Oh my Breaking God. News.
The typo had me going crazy.
Look at my face. I was like, what?
You guys would have seen me like run out of the studio. Like,
oh my gosh.
Oh my God. So Sydney actually put just got Aroldis Chapman instead of just get Aroldis Chapman. And I'm just like,
Sydney.
I was like, oh.
I mean, I've said that every week since like he got traded from the Royals. So
yeah.
Oh my God. I was like, all right, let me calm down.
Did you see the picture? Did you see the picture of Aroldis Chapman this week with his dog?
He's massive.
I am frightened. I am still frightened by that photo.
Is he like Zion Williamson massive or like
No. Like he's like mass, like LeBron massive.
Oh, right. So
and so is his dog. It was intimidating.
Yeah,
he's going to throw 110 in the twilight of his career.
It's a possibility.
Tim, you talked about you talked about him this summer, and man, I still think he would have been one of the ideal acquisitions the Reds could have made at the trade deadline if they were looking to improve their team. I really wish they'd done that.
Yeah, I do too. And I liked the move they made, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But, I think
the one move.
Right.
One.
Yeah.
Move.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. I don't know. There's definitely like, I know a lot of people are like, know that I'm super nostalgic about the 2010 teams. And I understand when I say that conversation. But I don't know, man. I think it'd be pretty fun just to see like the eighth inning and like the door swings open, Rage Against Machines playing again. He does that thing where he's like pro wrestling, where he like stops and like looks around and runs out. Like it was the cool. If you were in the stadium that night, there was nothing cooler.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
go ahead, Jeff.
I'm an old guy. I'm an old guy, and I've seen a few fun things in the stadium and been there for some exciting stuff. But I'm telling you, it's up there with anything I've seen in my lifetime. The just energy in the stadium when Chapman came in those and those early days. I've not seen anything like it since. I like Alexis Diaz. I like what we got.
Love
with him.
Alexis.
Yeah, but man, that was something.
Not saying Arola should take the closer spot for him by any means.
Agreed. Right.
But, no, agree.
But we'd love it. Because you imagine, like, would that be too much energy if, like, Aroldis comes out in the eighth and then Alexis Diaz comes out in the ninth? Would you kind of, like, be like, you know, like, when you go see, like for example, I talked about this one time I saw Kiss and they opened up for Aerosmith. Two totally different dynamics, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have, like, fire and, like, people draw, like, drooling blood and, like, flying. And then you have Aerosmith come out and play Toys in the Attic and you're like... How do I recover?
I was going to say.
So like, would that be what this would be here? Because, like, I mean, Alexis Diaz is awesome, but he doesn't have, like, that super, like, fired up, like, entrance, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, you get all fired up for Chapman, and then, like you said, Tears of a Clown by Smokey Robinson comes on. You're like, what? Right. What is this? What is going on? Like, yeah, it would be different for sure.
Yeah, it would be. I know, like, when I went to Cleveland this year for a couple games, Emmanuel Classe came out, and he had a pretty cool closer entrance. I liked it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I heard they're shopping him. They're the real winners this week. Shout out to Cleveland getting the first pick. I think they had, like, a 1% chance. So
yeah.
Yeah.
How incredible is that? Jeez.
This is, that is definitely, like, Derrick Rose to the Bulls-esque in the lottery.
Yeah, like that's insane.
Yeah, but, you know, it is what it is. Chattis, I like your Sixers hat. I know you said on NBA Friday we don't talk about the Sixers enough, but I do love them very much. They're a very fun basketball team to watch play basketball, especially since they got rid of the cancer in their locker room.
Which one?
Oh, Ben, you know.
Simmons, James Harden. They have a new one every year.
Chris Webber.
There you go.
Yeah. I tried to look up the other day for Riverfront U to see if I can get a contact with Tyrone Hill. Disappeared off the face of the earth. Totally just disappeared.
Oh, jeez.
Really? Really?
Yeah. I think he's still alive. There was nothing. They're like one of those dates on his Wikipedia. But
he's one of those guys. He's probably running a rec league at a YMCA and like Provo, Utah or something, like some obscure, like he's away somewhere. You're like, what are you? How'd you get out to Provo, Utah? He's like, it was peaceful. You're like, okay. Like he's out there in a distance somewhere.
We joked about that. One year we had credentials for that Big Three Ice Cubes League.
Oh yeah.
And we're totally going off traffic here. We'll get back here in a second. But this you're just saying just reminded me of this. So it was so funny. So Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf played in that league.
Oh yeah.
And
I saw that, yeah.
He was like 45, 46 at that time, just cooking everybody. And Sean and I look at each other. We're like, I'm pretty sure he probably just goes to the Y and people don't know who he is. They're like, all right, Grandpa, check up. And then Grandpa just takes him off the floor.
Just smokes him.
I remember watching that dude in college and he was unstoppable. Unreal. I mean, he pulled from it. And that's before three-pointers were a thing.
Really. Yeah.
He would pull up from anywhere. That dude was great.
The artist name back then, Chris Jackson. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So let's see here. I've got to catch up on some comments real quick. So Sydney says, so Jordan, shout out Jordan. Jordan has got the right idea. I like Jordan today. Jordan, you get the next Votto card.
Yeah, that's it.
Email me your address. I will put it in the comments and I'll send you the next Joey card that you can thank old Chad for supporting for our listeners.
Yes, sir.
Bob, yours will be in the mail. Actually, I think you'll be getting yours tomorrow. I finally got a notification. So there we got that going on. But yes, they could still sign Chapman, Blake Snell, and an outfielder and be around $100 million in payroll. So I'm in. Please do.
No doubt.
Because like we said, we're still looking for fun things to talk about with 2 months left of the off season before pitchers we're doing a Christmas song draft next week just to hold us over because
Chad, are you in on that?
He sure is.
Did I commit to that? I'm not sure I signed a contract.
Chad was like, I heard it's like one artist. He's like, so if you draft an artist and he's off the board. So he's like, man, you know, I just had to get Burl Ives. Had to make sure no one else got those Burl Ives next year.
That's not quite accurate. I'm not gonna preview who I want, but I've got one that I have to have number one. So I'm terribly excited about it.
Same.
I get it.
Yeah. By the way, are you one of the anti Wonderful Christmas Time people that I got ripped for really bad for liking that song?
No, I mean, I enjoy ripping you for whatever I can, you know,
hold on.
Fun at you about, but that's not what.
Who outside of Joe ripped
you? Oh, dude, if you looked in the random on the Slack channel that week, which you guys can all join, patreon.com/FlintCincy, I think it was Mike was like, bro, I love you, but I hate that song. And everyone was like, yeah, that song sucks. That song's terrible. And I was like, what? I said, I think my joke was like, I'm sorry you guys haven't found happiness. I hope you find it one day.
Wow.
Yeah. It's no love
for Paul McCartney. That's wild.
It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. All right. But let's get to our last topic here. Obviously, it couldn't be a Tim Daniel episode of a Reds podcast without bringing up old Nicholas Peter Senzel finding a new home. I feel like when he agreed to terms, when Scott Boras was talking on the phone with the Nationals front office, Sarah McLachlan's In the Arms of an Angel was playing in the background as he was like, yeah, I'll go there. And just like, you know, and just like signs the contract. Like, and I was just like, Woody from Toy Story popped up with that from Toy Story 3 when he says, so long, partner, and the tear goes down his eye. But Chad and I, we talked about this the other day, but obviously we all kind of knew we were both very big Nick Senzel guys. Chad had an awesome chance to interview him when he was drafted, kind of, and you know, it was a really, really good piece you can find it somewhere in the interwebs and Chad's millions of publications out there. But excited for him, you know, gonna have a lot of at bats, gonna have an opportunity to kind of get his career back on track. Low risk contract, obviously, what you expected for him, but would I be shocked if like the Nationals are out of it and he's having an okay run? And he's a trade deadline candidate for like a lower tier prospect for a team trying to make a run? No, not at all. Would I be shocked if this goes horrible and things just don't work out and he might be DFA'd in June? No, not at all. No. I hope for the latter because obviously I love that guy. And I feel like everything just went wrong for him here. But yeah, I'm excited for him and I'll root for him next year, wherever he's at.
I mean, it's literally a flip of a coin. Like he could have bat 280 he could be at the All-Star break batting 280, hit 16 home runs and have like 50 something runs batted in. You'd be like, yeah, I could have saw that coming. Or he could be batting 165, have 4 home runs and not driven any runs. And you'd be like, yeah, I could have seen that happen. Like you can see both sides of it. Like you could definitely see both sides of him, either the gift or the curse.
Yeah, Sydney actually had a comment over here that I was getting ready to say, so he beat me to it. But would anyone be surprised if he had like a Michael Lorenzen All-Star game appearance next year? You know, have a great first half and make it to the All-Star team? Yeah, I could see that happening. No, I'm not going to bet on that. I'm not going to guarantee it. But right. I'm like Tim. I'm just rooting for that guy, you know. It's funny. The piece that I wrote about Nick, and he and his whole family were really kind when I was writing that piece, it was supposed to be my first cover story for Cincinnati Magazine. And then the pandemic hit. And so it didn't get cut. And then, so we didn't have opening day. And so the cover didn't happen. And that's a pretty good metaphor for his career, which is that it was supposed to be really big. It was supposed to be and it just never quite happened. And so, I don't know. I'm not going to bet the ranch on him, but I'm like Tim. I'm rooting for that guy, no matter where he goes. And it'd be nice to see him have some successes, you know, before his career's over.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. But I think with that being said, I think we can go ahead and wrap up this week's edition of Late Night Reds. As always, thank you guys for hanging out each and every week. It makes everything so much fun to have the live chat. Chad even popped in the live chat this week, so that was really cool. I'm sorry that I had to call him out for him to join us, but I'm glad he joined us.
How do you put up with him, Ben? Ben, how do you deal with it?
Buddy, I made Ben get ordained to be the officiant at my wedding. He stuck with me forever.
Yeah, we're good, man. We're good.
Love it.
Yeah, Grace and I were like planning our wedding. We're like, well, who do we get to be the minister? And I was like, Ben.
Yeah.
I called him, and he's like, 2 weeks later, he's like, I got my thing.
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm ordained. Let's do it.
Hey, if anyone in Ohio is looking to get married,
I'm your guy.
Yeah. So if you're checking it out. But yes, please come hang out with us. Patreon.com/RefrontCincy. The Lee Alberto Bonilla tier is not going to break the bank, hopefully. So you can come hang out with us and there's in chat and have a lot of fun with us. But we're there each and every day talking way too much. As always, if you go to SeatGeek and you're signing up for the first time, use Riverfront Cincy, get that money off. If you're watching us on YouTube and you have not subscribed yet, please do so. Helps us out a lot. And of course, if whatever podcast app you're listening on, please go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And if you want to throw a review in, that'd be great. If not, that's okay too. But we'd really like the review. But on behalf of Ben, on behalf of Chad, who will be with us next week, finally, we've hyped this up for a month now. Christmas song draft next week. The rules are, you can only take the song once because there's 4,000 renditions of your Christmas song. And if an artist is taken, he's off the board. So see you guys next week. Cannot wait. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.